Hello, I'm Damon.
I'm Marcel, and I'm stressed out to the end of time.
And we are,
I don't know what that meant, but I'm very stressed.
We are Black Nerd Radio. It is election day. It's a storyteller episode, I think. We had some delays last week, all on my end. So sorry about that, but we're here now. I am not that stressed out because it's just going to be, I've already done it. I've already stressed out and now I'm over it because it's going to be whatever it's going to be. I mean, honestly, we're going to see an uptick in more racist boldness if he wins, and we're going to see more if he doesn't.
Where if he doesn't win, there's going to be spots of quote unquote revolutionary behavior because he's not going to quiet down.
No.
If he loses, he's going to be on the warpath for at least 2 more years. You know, at minimum,
that's
2 more years.
That's
we'll be talking
if he doesn't
about
get this. Go to jail or for not.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
He's, what's he owe? Like $100 million to.
He's $400 million to China.
Oh, Jesus.
They gave that dude a $400 million loan, and it's going to come due next year or year and a half. I mean, what do you do if that comes due and it's the president of the United States? What if he says, I'm not going to pay it, and if you want your money, come get it?
Can you imagine?
Then what?
How are we here? And I don't want this to be a political thing, but how are we here where the president can be beholden to another country for money?
It's the answer is the answer that is so obvious, but it's the answer you don't want to hear. It's Barack Obama's fault.
How?
Because he won twice.
Oh, okay, so that's his fault for doing what he was supposed to do.
Because honestly, if you really think about it, and I've said this before to other people, but when Bill O'Reilly said, for the first time in American history, the white male's vote doesn't count, as Barack is walking hand in hand with his wife and his two little girls up to the podium after he won to give the speech, he represented a large, large number of white men and women who saw their worlds changing. And then when under Barack, even though he deported 3 million people, which these idiot Trumpers don't understand, but you saw an uptick in Hispanics and an uptick in black folks. And they knew that in the next few years, they're going to be a minority. And so when Hillary came around and won, they said to themselves, look, we cannot have our children and our grandchildren and our great grandchildren growing up in an era where it's okay to have a black man as a president and a white woman as a president. It cannot happen. We will take whoever the other guy is. And they took him.
Well,
it's sexism. It's racism. I am telling you that is the simplest answer because it is the truest answer.
Yeah, the repercussions for Barack winning, but I think it's idiotic and to say it's his fault. How dare he run for president and how dare he win like he did something wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. So
he didn't.
Like,
and I hate to say it,
it's his fault.
But that's how they feel, is that this wouldn't have happened if he hadn't won. Because when Barack won, he had two things going. He had Oprah Winfrey, who had a tight chokehold on the white women in this world, in this country, that she could get them to do whatever she wanted to do, you know, and young people. And they both came together and said, man, I'm tired of these old white men. And they voted him in. And I said that it's his fault because they feel like something was taken from them, that it's his fault we lost the presidency. It's his fault that my kids are going to see a fucking black guy reaching the top of this country. We don't want them to know that they can be anything they want to be. And that's one of the reasons why when Barack was elected, you know, I let out a sigh of relief and I shed a tear, because now even though he's an outlier, but now there's no glass ceiling anymore. And that's what they were afraid of, is black folks and people of color realizing that anything can happen. You can do whatever you want to do. It's not just a white man's world. Why do you think Trump keeps saying make America great again? Why do you think he keeps saying I want to put the husbands back to work again? He knows what he's talking about. He wants to go back to his father's day and the day when he was the youth, where the men worked, the white men had all the jobs, and the colored folk, they just picked up whatever they could. Women were at home. Well, hi, honey. Take off the apron, give you a hug, take your clothes, take your jacket and your briefcase and massage your feet and then fuck you because that's their job. This is why they say it's his fault, because they wanted to keep the status quo. I understand your opinion. Yeah. I'm sorry, not your opinion, but not liking the way I say it. I get it. I really do. But I'm saying it how they feel. This was his fault. That we elect, that it's Donald Trump got elected.
They can go fuck off. I really don't care.
Yes, they can. I just hope he loses. Antar, my brother, asked me, he said, you really think he can win? And I said, Trump can win, dude, because he's trying to get all to, which is just, to me, just the most un-American thing I've ever heard. He wants all the votes at midnight to stop
That's
counting.
That's not how that works.
Even if you... That's what I thank you. If I mailed my vote in a week ago and they just got it at 1 o'clock in the morning, the Wednesday morning, they need to count my vote. What are you talking about? You know, and that's why he hit on mail-in ballots. This guy knows what he's doing. He's setting us up, man, for a possible an attempted coup of this country. I know what he's doing.
Whenever there's an election, the right always does this. Always they pretend voter fraud is a thing, even though it is what 1%?
It's less than 1%. It's like 1%. Yeah, way less. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Act like that's it's a thing, and it's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm glad some judges stopped letting these militia fucks go to voter places and with their guns. Why in the fuck would you need a gun there other than just to try and intimidate people?
Yeah. It's like the South all over again when they would do that to black folks. They'd ride up to the polls and look at these niggas like, oh, you think you're gonna come vote? I may kill you if you do. I may kill you if you do. And some of them went, well, you just gonna kill me because I'm voting.
Yeah.
You know, and also Trump said it best. And this is the only problem. This is probably the only true thing he said off the cuff. He said that if we count every vote, there will probably never, ever be another Republican elected to office again. And he's right. When Mitt Romney said that this country is center right, I'm like, you're left of an idiot, because you don't understand that the majority of this country either doesn't care about politics at all, or they want everybody to have an opportunity with their lives. They don't care what they do, you know, in their private life. Just do you. Be a success. Help the country be a success. Do you. You guys are the ones who think that it's got to be the Bible and you know, everybody, you got to have rich folk and poor folk. That's you. Most of the country does not believe that. And most of the country is in California and New York. So there's your answer right there. That's where most of the people are. And they're progressive. They're Democrats. They're not conservative Republicans.
We need to do away with the electoral college.
Yeah, they do.
It's ridiculous. So ridiculous.
They're also talking now about convincing the electorals to take away Biden's electorals, even if he wins the state, because they could have done that under Trump, because they're the ones, not us, that decide who's the president. They could go, yeah, the people of Oregon are idiots. I'm sending these, I think it's 6 electorals, I'm sending them to Trump. Poor Oregon's and Oregon's full of idiots. We're sending them to Trump. That could easily happen, and it's not against the law.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it, I like TJ said, if they counted every single vote countrywide, he'd vote. And I was like, I get it. I totally get it. Well, then
he also loses the ability to complain.
Well, he really doesn't. You know, yeah. Does, yeah, I get it. You're right.
Because he does, he, you know.
So yeah, he does.
I'm not, that's not a characterization, you know. Because, yeah.
No, he complains.
You know, but I also vote.
Yes.
So.
Right.
I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he said something that I'm just tired of hearing people say, and we'll wrap this up soon and get off politics, but I just have to say this. I am so sick of the stupid, I see it a lot on Facebook too, of the stupid argument about, what doesn't matter? They're exactly the same. Well, yeah, no, they're not. I don't see, because you don't, I don't see a bunch of Biden people driving Trump's bus off the freeway, or a bunch of progressives going to the polls with guns trying to intimidate voters, or, you know, they're not the same. Yeah, are they both rich white men? Yeah, and it's usually old. That's usually the same.
Really old.
That's usually the you know, status quo for this country. But to say they're the same is fucking idiotic, and it's proof positive you don't pay attention.
Well, that's kind of was my argument when people would say that Hillary and Trump was the lesser of two evils. I remember I told one dude, I said, look, this is when I was a conservative celebrity, I said, look, here's why you're wrong. If Donald Trump wins, he's going to redirect the federal courts and the Supreme Court. That man has over 250 federal judgeships he can fill, which is the most the president's ever had. He's going to fill them with deep conservative people who take their Bible over the law. Then you're going to have him rewrite the Supreme Court, who again take the Bible over the law. And I guarantee you, Roe v. Wade is going to be gone, and women are going to go back to hangers to get rid of the baby that their daddy gave them. This is the problem. So they're not the lesser of two evils. You may not like Hillary. I never liked her. I thought she was just too mannish. You know, there was just something about her I didn't like. But she is not the lesser of two evils, because she would not pack the courts with people that would take us backwards. And Trump has put people in lifetime positions that are going to take us backwards. I said, you don't understand. I said, even as a black male, when they start talking about going make America great again, I start thinking of Jim Crow. I start thinking of slavery.
They don't mean us.
Yeah. No, exactly. And so I'm sitting there going, hey, there's still that possibility that somehow somebody could do like they started, like slavery started here. You know, have an argument with somebody, he owes me money, and then blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, I'm in chains. You know, and the Supreme Court is like, well, you know, it is the law. If you get people conservative enough who believe in the Bible enough, it could easily happen again. That's why it's like that last election was so important, and people just couldn't see past those damn emails and the fact that she was a woman. They could not see past it. They just couldn't. They could not see past it. And it drove me nuts. And James Comey killed her with that letter he put out. What was it, 4 days before the election? I remember I went on my lunch break, popped up Huffington Post, and saw that letter he put out about clearing her of the emails, but really didn't say he cleared her. I'm like, well, Trump won. And I went and talked to my boy, the big Indian dude, and I was like, yep, he won. And he read the email, and he was like, yep, he won. And I started telling everybody, well, Trump's going to win. It's going to be close, but he's going to win now. And they didn't believe me. I said, you guys just don't understand how this country works. You really don't, if you think he's going to lose now. It was so close. What was it? 20,000 people over three states that he won the election by? Yeah. That email, that letter James Comey wrote shifted those voters. It did. He elected Donald Trump. And then Trump repaid him by firing him. Which is amazing to me. Thanks for giving me the election. You fucking failure. Oh, it just All right, hurts
let's
my
get off
head.
of politics, because.
Dude, I could
Yeah, I
go
know.
hours with this
Yeah,
stuff. I got
me
so much to
too.
get off
Me
my
too.
chest.
But
Oh,
this
so
isn't the
much to get off
show.
my
We should do
chest.
it in our free
No,
time.
I know. I may do my own. And I may do my own, because there's a lot of stuff I got to get off my chest, man, about where the world is going and stuff. But there's so many of us doing that. I just think it'll get lost
Yeah,
in the shuffle.
that's kind of why I
You
don't
know.
like to hang too long on politics, because
Oh, I get it. Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. You know, because then we turn into everybody
exactly.
else. You know, instead of being unique and doing, you know, God, I almost said in blood people.
Ooh.
I was real close. I
That
almost
was
said
gonna
it,
be a,
but I'm not going to. Not going to. Yeah. It should have been, because I almost did
Oh
it.
shit.
Woo! That's for
Yeah, that's
personal time.
inside joke.
That's a real inside joke. And you will never know, audience. You will
Oh,
never
but
know.
I wanted to do a storyteller episode. Now, I wanted to ask you, did I? Well, the topics are embarrassing childhood moment, first time at a strip club, and a bad date. Oh, before we get started with those, did you see Quibi's gone out of business? Oh, you didn't know
Quibi, what
Quibi?
is that?
Okay, I forget.
Wait, I think I do. Is that
Yeah,
an app on
well, it's an app
TV?
on your
On the TV?
phone for the phone. It wasn't really made for TV. It was made for phones and like mobile devices. It
And
was
it's
like, yeah, it was
TV and
like
stuff,
TV show. It
that
had
kind
like a
of.
lot of A-listers. It cost 1.6 to get this thing started. It started like over a little over a year ago, maybe. Yeah, a little over a year ago. Anyway, Quibi was designed for like, like, let's say you have they take these shows, and what is that?
Oh,
Yeah,
God, you
it's
heard that? My bad.
oh,
The pencil fell.
okay.
Sorry, I got it.
It was designed for like, there's like shows, but they're like 5 and 10 minutes long. So it was designed
Oh,
for
okay.
like if you're at the subway or your commute to work on the bus or something, or you're in line somewhere and it's going to be a little long, you can watch your little 10-minute show. Now, they had all different kinds of shows.
Right.
I think they had like 20, 25 shows. I don't know. I don't know the number. But that was what it was designed for. Now, but it's what's also annoying is that, if you're watching the show, now you have to wait another week to get another 10 minutes of a show. But it debuted and with a free trial of 3 months. And then when it debuted, COVID happened like a month later.
Another business killer killed by COVID.
Well,
Wow.
I think COVID was the nail in the coffin, but I don't think COVID was the reason it failed. I think it failed because it's 10-minute shows, and it doesn't, and it just, most people want to have to at least have control over that. Now, if they gave you these shows and they gave it to you in 5 or 10 minute blocks, and you can watch them at the pace you want it, that'd be one thing. But then again, it's just like any other, but it was just kind of doomed to fail from start, from concept. I mean, I remember when I heard it.
That's
So
interesting.
anyway, they tried to sell it at least to another buyer for 1.2 or 1.3 billion. No one wanted it, so they tried to sell the shows to as a group to like Netflix or Amazon. They didn't want it. There is some good, and I haven't watched the shows, but they, from what I hear, there are some good shows on there. But another problem with Quibi is that they don't have the licensing. They have the licensing to sell it as a group, but they don't have the licensing to piece it out. So some of these,
So you gotta
yeah.
take the shit with
So they
salad.
just
Got
it's
it.
just a
All right.
loss. So they couldn't unload it. They can't part it out, and no one else wants to buy it. So all these little shows are going to probably become bigger shows on Netflix or Amazon or Shudder. So it's going to get dissolved, because there was a lot of these shows with some like star power. So that were just Quibi exclusive. So that's gone out of business. But one more thing. I didn't want to get political, but one more thing. I'd be remiss not to bring it up. Ice Cube is a dummy.
Yeah, I've been kind of following that, but I don't want to delve too deep into it because I've always thought that Ice Cube thinks he's smarter than he is just because he made hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, now, what I mean? It's like
there's intelligence and then there's like business intelligence and there's political intelligence.
Yeah,
I think business wise, obviously, right. He's very intelligent. He literally turned nothing into, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, the man's worth $400 million, man. $400 million. So, you smart as hell when it comes to business, Jack.
He is a fucking moron.
Yeah.
When he had his first little thing on, it was like, initially he said, I'm not paying much attention to the politics. Now, he's with this group, this black group that I forget the name of them who he's aligned himself with, but they're kind of they do a lot of division inside of black culture. So it's just like, I don't think he knows who he's always aligning himself with, truly knows. And he's like, I was just being an artist. I wasn't paying too much attention to this stuff. Now the Trump's platinum package, the name alone is an insult. Oh, it's like
black. Yeah, it's an insult,
like their bling. Call it the platinum package. One, Ice Cube said he went to both parties, and Trump's the only one that wanted to do something right now. Trump, it's not how it works, bro. I was so mad when I heard him say that. I was like, "What are you?" And he's like,
"Yeah, I heard that too. I saw the video."
I said, we're done waiting. No, idiot. You're in the 11th hour of an election year.
Yeah.
They don't have any power.
Yeah.
They want to wait because if they do get power, if Biden wins, then they can make some moves. And if they lose, they can still work with you, but they got to figure out how they're going to get around the neocons. So it just seems like... But Trump wanted to work with me. He's a fucking idiot. Trump
wanted to work with you because he's at the 11th hour, like you said.
Person of note. He can get a photo op with you and push whoever else that's in the these morons that are undecided over the edge towards him. It's such a stupid and Trump hasn't made good on any of his promises. His big campaign promises. Nope. What the fuck makes you think he's going to stick up for, back what you want to do? He'll tell you what he's going to do, but it's not going to fucking happen. He's such a fucking moron.
No, he doesn't see. I don't think Ice Cube is used to a different kind of con man. He's used to the producers of rap and to the street gangs, kind of con. This is a rich white man con who will literally put his arm around you if he thinks you can do something for him. So Trump put an arm around him and Lil Wayne to get a photo op so that he can give to Candace Owen to go out and say, see, black people, we got two famous black men who love Trump and we want you to vote for him. And 50, that's all it was. And 50 that's cents all it was.
Or, I don't want to be 20 cent. Oh, fuck you.
Well, the only thing I can say is, I don't know how much money he has, but from the tax point, I can't argue. Those guys are going to get creamed when the Democrats take over. They're going to just get destroyed. But then again, I don't care because I don't have that kind of money. I never will have that kind of money.
They'll be paying their fucking fair share. They're not getting.
There you go.
We pay. I'm not destroyed.
No, you're right.
I mean, I can still buy shit that I want and do shit that I want to do. I just pay my fair share. So let's be honest. It's not. They're not getting destroyed. They just don't want to pay their fair share. Hell, if you have $100 million and your taxes come out to $2 million, you're not fucking starving.
And you're not paying your fair share because your taxes should come out to probably about eight. If you, for every 100 million, eight to 10 million should come right off the top. Sorry, but it needs to come. And all he can see is the millions that are going away, that are just going. It's like, dude, you still have $90 million. What are you talking about? It's just pure greed. And what I meant by destroy, which you can say that was a bad word or a bad use of words, you know, one way or the other, but it's how he feels. He's going to be financially destroyed if these taxes go through. You know, it's like why some people, you know, just love Florida. Florida is a shitty place to be all around, but they have no state income taxes. Neither does Texas. I don't think Washington does. So people will go there just because of that. But what they don't realize is that the money that they think they're saving, they're paying right back to the state through sales taxes. They're giving it right back. So what do you? I had to explain that to Big Dave. I said, Dave, man, you're giving the money right back, dude. Think about it. And we hung up the phone. He called me 2 days later, and his first words were, "I fucking hate you, Marcel. I've always hated you." And he hung up the phone. And I was like, and I called him back. I was like, just because you're always wrong doesn't mean I don't love you, bro. Doesn't mean I don't love you, though. But these guys are so greedy. You know, it's like Trump found a way to not to call what was it, a $950 million loss, so he didn't pay New York State taxes for 20 years. It's like, how are you people following this guy? This is a con artist. Then you go all the way back to the original point, the Ice Cube, and I'd throw in Lil Wayne because Lil Wayne's career is in trouble now too because he met with Trump.
Unlike Ice Cube, Lil Wayne is a legit idiot.
Yes, he is. He's addicted to the, what do they call that stuff? That codeine and cough syrup. I don't think he does that anymore, but he was addicted. Scissor or some shit like that.
After Scissor. That one rapper just died, dropped dead from it. They all kind of chilled out on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, codeine and cough medicine? What is codeine, wrong cough with medicine you?
And Sprite. And you...
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the only thing that's good to drink.
You mix them together. Sprite. I guess, you know, it's like being drunk, but like, I guess, you know, it's a codeine high. I don't know. I've never tried it. But...
How bad must your life be?
Millionaires doing this stupid
shit.
Would
you have that? Yeah. Well, how depressed are you, man? You've got what they have. What if I had right now, despite my injuries and my pain, my life would be perfect. I got a woman I love. I got pets. We're trying to get a kid. And you give me $150 million. My problems are solved, Jack. I'm not going to be trying to get out of this world, you know, getting high. So I'm just wondering how mentally broke are these guys to be doing that?
That's just it. Money but can't buy happiness, Marcel.
Yeah.
That's all the rich folks, right?
Fuck them.
It can't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 36, 24, 49. Whatever. I'm not going to go there. But anyway. No, but to wrap up the Cube thing, dude, I think he wants to do something to help.
His heart's in the right place, but his stupid head is really throwing up roadblocks.
Right. He should have learned from Steve Harvey.
Be a prick and cut all your friends out.
Well, that too. But you remember when Trump won, he was one of the first black folks to go to Trump Plaza, Trump Towers, and talk to him about the black problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you do that, dude? You got to give this guy, you got to look at his reputation, which is what everybody
forgets.
Yeah, he was
this way always.
Donald Trump has a reputation. Yeah, always. He still wants to lock up the Central Park Six. He still wants to lock up.
And it was proven that, anyway.
Yeah, they did not do it. And Ice Cube did not either, doesn't know that.
That's what I don't. That's what I don't get. I mean, he has not changed. Only thing that's different is that now he's running the country. He's been the same guy. Same piece of shit when he had the show The Apprentice. He was the same piece of shit when he was on Oprah's show talking about what a success, and he's buying the King of New York back in the 80s. He was the same piece of shit. It's just now that he's now he's just running the country.
Now he's got his hands on the nuclear codes. And and my thing with Cube is that, dude, look at this one last thing, and this should tell you why you shouldn't talk to him. The man loves dictators. He said him and Kim Jong-un have love each other. He loves a president for life, Xi, in China. He loves these guys. Yeah. He loves Putin. You can't trust a guy who admires guys like that.
No.
You just can't. And but he does. Oh, and then I wanted to say about QB. There's a channel, and I think I told you about it, called Omalon on YouTube. They do that. Short movies and stuff. Well, that's 15-minute movies, 20-minute movies.
The Quibi is that doesn't cost anything. So people who want to do that, just go do it. But I'll be goddamned if I'm not gonna pay. I'm not paying anywhere.
I'm not paying for that.
$8 to $10 a month for 10 minutes a week. Get the fuck out of. Get the entire fuck out of here.
I didn't know it was that. What kind of nerve do you have to go, look, man, I'm gonna give you 10 minutes of my time, but you're gonna have to give me $20 a week or a month for everything, but you only get 10 minutes a month.
No, you get get 30 minutes a month.
Oh, sorry, 30 minutes a month,
or actually 40 minutes a month.
And you don't get, and it's like, wait, I'm not gonna pay you anything for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
man.
Like
what's
I said,
wrong with you? What could you possibly get done in 10 minutes? Seven.
All right, let's go. We were diarrhea of the mouth. And before I want to say something else political, I'm just going to dive right into our storyteller segment, and then we'll call it a night, because I got to go to bed. Dude.
Yeah, it's getting, that thing is probably throwing you off the fallback a little bit, because it's throwing me off.
I honestly...
My pain meds are just off.
I'm purposely right trying now. To keep myself distracted. I watched very little news today. I'm going to watch a show, one of my shows on one of my stories, and then I'm going to bed. I'm going to play a game and lay in bed and go to sleep, because I just want to wake up and figure out what my day is going to be like.
Am I angry at work or happy at work?
Angry all day. Am I going to be happy and hopeful, or angry and feeling doomed for another 4 years?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
So I'm just, I can't allow myself to drift too much. So I don't want to freak out anymore. Oh, I haven't watched it yet, because when Eloise comes this weekend with me, we're going to watch both episodes, because it's one of our shows we watch together only. But that's The Mandalorian.
I haven't caught on to that yet. I'd probably watch it sometime this weekend. What is it?
You haven't even seen the
No, I saw the whole first season. It was one of those where you told me it was one of those forced reviews, and I watched it all at once, which is what you hate for me to do. But I watched it all in like one day.
You can't really digest.
I realize that now, because after I did that with The Watchmen, I was like, I don't know how the hell I'm going to talk about this, because all the episodes are starting to blur together as I'm writing this shit down. Because I just watched it cold, 1 to 9. I was like, it's jumbled now. I can't do that no more. Oh, I used to be able to do that, but can't do it no more. Yeah, which one are we doing? I want to do childhood story. But you do whatever you need to do.
All right.
You start.
No, you start. Okay. For an embarrassing childhood moment, I can't remember. Well, when we get to mine, I'll ask you first, because I can't remember if it's something I just told you or if something we did on the podcast. I honestly don't remember. But it was that'll dictate what other story I tell. So I'll let you go first. So please.
Thank you for the introduction. when I was young, my mother taught at Holyrood Grade School, which is right across the park from Grant High School. It's one of the reasons why she wanted me to go to Grant, so she could keep an eye on me. Not that Grant was a good school, but, you know, that's what she said. Grant's a great school. No, Mom, you just want to know where I'm at all the time. Love you, but don't lie to me.
Now, your mom's a professor.
Might as well be. She's a master teacher, so there's not really much difference between the two, you know, except for one right. degree, I think. And she could finish that if she wanted to. She just doesn't want to. And so I went to Holyrood for like 1 year. I'll never forget the lady's name. Name was Mrs. Scarf. She, there's a great picture of me, frowning because I was first in line. I beat everybody to the door and she made me go like third or fourth for no reason. And I was just pissed. And I'm sitting there just lip out, arms crossed. I ain't smiling for nothing, motherfucker, you know, or whatever the hell an 8-year-old, 9-year-old does. So later on that school year, we were in the classroom, and I remember thinking two things. One, because I remember I hit my head and it didn't really hurt, that my head must be like super extra hard. I mean, it's got to be because I didn't feel nothing. Yeah, my head's extra hard. Two, I have an afro and it's going to pad my head like a helmet. So I was like, yeah, go ahead, take those 2x4s and hit me in the head with it. One of the kids was like, what? Go ahead. I bet it just breaks on my head. My head is extra strong. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
He hit me so hard, man, that my eyes rolled, but it didn't fall. And I was like, yeah, that's all you got. Hit me again. He hit me again. And apparently, now you got to remember, my mother is maybe 300 feet down from me. This is Scarf walked into the classroom and she was like, what the hell are you idiots doing? And I was like, my tongue was out and I was slurring my words because I know I had a major concussion. I was like, really? I'm just throwing my heart in my head is, that's all. Oh, we need to go to your mother. So she drug me down to my mother and I'm like, hey, ma'am. She's like, what's wrong with you? She's like, your son was getting hit in the head with 2x4s. Why? Because I have an afro and my head is hard. She's like, I got to take him to the emergency room. And he took him to the emergency room. There was nothing in my head, but I know this was back, you know, before they really understood concussions. They just said, he got his belt. It's his bell rung. He'll be fine. And they sent me home. I went to sleep. And then we moved on with life. I feel so stupid right now because.
So that's what
it very well could be. I don't know. But I look back on that and I'm just thinking, was I really that bored? As a kid, to think of something like that?
I think you have to be a special dude. I can remember myself at that age, and I would never initiate someone to hit me in the head. I wouldn't think that my head was so hard that I could break a floor.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. That's one of the many things that I did as a youth, man, that it just... My dad said once, I think when I was like 16 or 17, he said, you know, I thought you were going to kill yourself when you were a kid because of all the stupid stuff you did. And I know there's even more stupid stuff that I don't know about and don't want to know about that you've done. I was like, you have no idea the dumb shit I've done. That have no clue what me and my friends have done. And we did it out of boredom, you know? I mean, there was nothing to do. There was nothing to do, literally. So we jump off roofs and, you know.
Now, I get that dumb kid shit because we had a hill we used to call Dead.
Every neighborhood had one of those. Too. I swear to God, everybody
had the end of our street. You know, it went up about, I don't know, maybe 20 mm-hmm. feet. But then you go down, it goes, you know, because I lived at the end of a cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay.
And the hill was at the end of it. And we made a ramp that went down that hill and then made a ramp on one of our friend's dad's cars that just sat in the yard and didn't mm-hmm. do anything. And not into the grass, on the concrete. So we go down this, you know, 15-foot hill, dirt hill, that's almost at a 70-degree angle, nice. Maybe. I mean, it's super yeah. steep. So you get a lot of – and then we go flat for about 10 feet and then we're on a ramp. That's as high mm-hmm. as a car, and we did that. And the oldest kid in our group, Forrest, he was also the biggest. Well, I was probably the biggest, but he was definitely the tallest. He went up so high, when he landed, his handlebars snapped off. He had like a gooseneck on his, you know, but and it wasn't, you know, that kind of weight. It just snapped, and he banged his sternum on the front of his tire. He broke like four ribs. We had to get his dad to come and his dad's friend to come pick him up because he couldn't bend. It was horrible. And then his dad just looked at the car, looked at him. He's like, "None of you fuckers are doing this." And he flipped the board off the car. And we were so scared. Goes, we thought we just watched our friend die. Yeah. And he was just, his son's all busted up, his 10-year-old son. So I get stupid kids like that, but to be dumb enough to think that I'm like impenetrable, that's
you got to understand though, is that my friends and I, we didn't think cars could really kill us, because I told you off camera or off air about how we'd get as close to moving cars as we could and touch them as they went by. We all did that.
That is insane.
And this is before Instagram and all these people doing stupid shit just to be on TV. We did it because we were bored. We used to let these two Doberman pinchers out, and we were in the fourth and fifth grade. We'd let them out of their fence and have them chase us because it was something to do. Every day we'd run up there, there'd be like seven of us. All right, whose turn is it to open the gate? All right, Steven, open the gate. Open the gate. All right, go. And we start running. These dogs would be, it was.
Did you kids get mauled?
No. What I realized later is that the dogs at most would like tear your clothes. They tore one of my friend Kevin's, or they tore his coat. They got him and tore his coat. But they were pretty well trained. You know, they didn't go too far from the house. Like, if we got a certain distance, they wouldn't keep running. But it's almost like the dogs look forward to it, because they'd come to the gate and look. And one time I saw the guy in the window watching. He didn't even stop it. He's like, "Well, if these dummies want to do this, have some fun." And then one day I got separated and the two dogs were coming at me. And I know I told you this years ago. You probably forgot. But there was a truck that came around the corner on 27th. And I'm like, and I'm running, and I jump on the, I swear to all my grandfather on everything I hold dear. I jumped on the hood of the car, and I'm looking at this driver, and I'm like, "Go, go, go." And the driver just looked at me like, "What? Dogs, drive." And this dude is like, "Okay." And he started driving. I was like, "Turn right on 25th. He turns right. "Stop here." My grandmother, my grandfather, and my great-grandmother were outside on the porch. They saw their firstborn grandson jump off the hood of a car, say thank you to people he didn't know, run by them and go, "Hi, guys," run in the house and get something to drink, and said nothing about what they had just saw. That's what we did. Okay?
Fucking...
Isn't that insane? I look back on it and I'm like, I'm stunned. I didn't get killed. I am stunned I'm still alive. And like I said, this is before Instagram and Facebook and Jackass. I can't even imagine what I would have done today if there'd have been, or back then if it had been like this. If we took technology now and took it back when I was in the third, fourth, fifth grade, oh my God.
I'd be dead. No way. I'm so glad that I would have done some devious shit. There's no, I'm so glad it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been derailed a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to run around and slap girls on the ass as hard as we could. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. Oh, my God. Oh, the glory days of just not realizing what sexual harassment was and what death and pain is.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh God. No, I can't even think.
All right. Your turn.
All right. Well, now, did I ever tell the story on the podcast about the time I got bullied? So I beat the neighborhood bully, and then I challenged the other neighborhood bully. Cause we had our neighborhood had two.
I know you told me, but I don't think you told it on podcast. And if he did, it was years ago.
All right. It may have been, yeah, maybe just in the sound.
Yeah, it was days. Years ago when you told that. So the new people, you know, they'll love it. Yeah. So it was a all good right. story. So go ahead.
All right. When I was about, yeah, I was in the second or third grade. I was in the third grade. In our neighborhood, we had two bullies. One that lived across the street, I forget his name, I think it was Jeff. And it was a Hispanic kid that was three houses down from me. And I forget
we'll call his name, Jesus.
But, oh gosh, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to say.
Oh, boo!
Yeah.
Boo! Yeah,
I just remember he was Mexican because his dad had a heavy accent. His dad looked and sounded like, and this is, you know, we're talking 1981, 1982. So Eric Estrada and Chips is a big yes. deal. And this guy, his Dan's dad, he looked like Eric Estrada. He was like a just hot Latin dude that all the women, including my grandmother, all said, oh, he's so handsome when they see him. But his son was a fucking bastard. And the kid, what sucked is the kid could fight because his dad taught karate. And he would have, like, in the summertime, or when the weather was nice, he'd be doing Tai Chi or his, you know, and he'd have all his students out on the front lawn. There'd be like 10, 15 other adults doing this. So he's, you know, we thought he was a big deal. He was cool shit. So his son, Dan, he would just make my life miserable all the time. And we had the same bus stop. And one day he was just, you know, he smacked me up and at the bus stop before the bus picked us up. And I was upset all day at school and I was upset on the way home. And then my mom asked me what's going on because she could just tell. I guess my, you know, I was obviously something was bugging me. But she was like, she fucked up and gave me like the license to fight because I always thought I would just get in trouble and I was intimidated by this guy, but she gave me like this really motherly kind of fuck him up kind of
you fuck him up or I fuck you speech. Up
no she never did anything like that. She never did that kind of ignorant shit that unfortunately a lot of black parents did.
They sure did, boy.
I mean, so you're gonna double down on your terror? Hey, that just makes no sense. Oh, so now they don't feel safe at home either. Oh,
I watched
awesome.
That happen.
That is, I thought that was just
it is though.
Shit. No, but she just kind of gave me like this, you know, I don't know, just pep talk, and showed me a few things. And my uncle Paul showed me a few things to fight. And my uncle Paul spent a lot of his adult life in and out of prison, and this is around the time when he was out, so we would see him kind of regularly. And he gave me a couple pointers, and like so the following week, like the following Monday, I'm at the bus stop. Dan's giving me a real hard time, and I just like had one of those Ralphie moments where I'm crying and I'm mad, and I beat the living shit out of him before the school bus got there. To the point to when the school bus got there, I was so upset I just ran home. I didn't get on the bus. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble, and this is bad. And so I was so scared, I just ran home. My mom's like, well, did you miss the bus? And I, you know, I was all upset, and I told her what happened, and I, you know, beat him up. She was like, that's okay. You know what? You don't have to go to school today if you don't want to. And so that day, later that day, Dan and his dad are knocking on our front door. And he's like, look what your son did to my son. And he goes, I gave him a black eye and I bruised him up pretty good.
There you go.
With my crying wimpy rage. And well, I never experienced violence like that towards me, you know, and when to do it was like, you know, it was a little traumatizing. It was my first real fight.
Yeah, I remember mine.
and so my mom just kind of snapped. We're the only black family, or well, Well, we're one of two black families in the neighborhood in 19, in, you know, in Vancouver, aka Vantucky in the early 80s. So
Vantucky.
It was like, he was like, she, you know, we were already experiencing a lot of bad shit. So he just got both barrels of that frustration. And she told him, like, well, fuck you and your son's a pussy. If my son could beat up him, and doesn't he take karate? What the hell? She slammed the door in his face. And the rest, he just left me alone. His dad, I guess, had a talk with him after that and saw that he was getting no help from my mom. So he just left me alone. And I kind of, you know, it was like the first week in many weeks of just bliss. And finally, so I was, you know, I was kind of feeling myself. I defeated the big bully, but we had another bully, a guy who was a little older than us. So I didn't have to ride the bus or go to his school because he was a grade ahead of me or couple of grades ahead of me, and I think his name was Jeff, and Jeff hadn't given me any static in a while, but he was a bully. You know, if we had crossed paths, he might say or do something, but he generally just left me alone, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. So we hadn't had a dust up in quite a while, but I'm, you know, I'm 1-0. I'm 0-1, I mean, or yeah, 1-0. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to seek justice. I'm going over there because he gave me a hard time whenever. And I'm going to kick his ass too.
There you go. Got feeling yourself.
And I remember my mom said, I told her that I was going to go talk to Jeff. She's like, why would you do that? You guys don't like each other. And she's like, I was like, well, he did this and this. And she's like, but he didn't do anything recently. We already addressed that last thing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't start fights. Don't ever start a fight. And I was like, I didn't listen to her. Later that day, I went across the street and I knocked on the door and Jeff's dad was there. So like, can Jeff come to the door? And Jeff came to the door. And I remember, I'll never forget the look on his face. It's like, why are you here? You know, it's like, I don't even, you know, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, go out there in the front yard. We're going to fight.
You and me now. Like,
it was so weird because it was clear. He was like, I'd rather be doing whatever it was before he came to the door, but he's not going to let me call him out.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like, all right. So, I mean, like, thinking back of it, he was so effortless for him. So I said, we're going to fight because you did this and this and this. And, you know, I'm bringing up literally old shit. But I'm just like, you know, I never liked him because he was always mean to me. And I already beat one bully, so I'm going to beat this bully. He kicked the shit out of me. It was, I don't know what was more embarrassing. When his dad came out and said, all right, he's had enough. And he just stopped. It wasn't like he was emotional and his dad had to come between us. His dad's like, all right, he's had enough. And he just stopped like,
hey.
All right. And then he went to the house. It was like, it took no effort for him to beat my ass. And then have his dad just watch me kind of like pitifully, like, poor bastard. And then I look across the street and my mom's in the kitchen window looking at me like, poor bastard. And that walk to the house, to my room, was humiliating.
No, I'm sure it was.
My mom didn't even say anything. She looked at me and she was like,
yeah.
So that was a very embarrassing. And I learned something that day. Don't ever pick a fight. And if someone's fucking with you and they haven't fucked with you in a long time, just let it go.
Just let it go. Yeah, that was my dad's biggest thing about fighting. He's like, you never ever throw the first punch. I think a lot of black families talk about that stuff. You know, it's like you don't throw the first punch. I think that's why you see a lot of black kids when they're fighting or going to fight, they just get face to face and kind of circle because they got that in their heads. Like, don't throw the first punch. Don't throw the first punch.
Well, you know where that comes from, don't you? At least it was for me, the way it was explained to me from my mom. One reason, don't start a fight, you know, don't start none, won't be none kind of attitude. But it's really like, because once you start throwing fisticuffs, there's a good chance the police are going to get called. Yep. And you're black. So guess what? If the other person isn't black,
Oh yeah.
You know, so if the other person's white or just not black, it's gonna fall on you. Yeah. So but no one's gonna, you'll have a strong argument if you're defending yourself.
See, I remember we were talking about fighting, and I can't remember the teacher's name, but it's this white dude with this weird mustache, and we were talking about fighting, and for some reason he chimed in with a bunch of 14-year-olds talking about fighting. He said, he said something, and I said, something ain't right with you, man. What would you do if a black kid and a white kid were fighting? He said, well, who's winning? Black kid. But stop the fight. What if the white kid's winning? I wouldn't stop the fight. And you know what? I didn't tell anybody that. No adult that. Not one adult. Wow. I didn't even think about that. I was just like, wow. You're a racist. And I just moved on with my day. I don't know, but everything was just different. That fighting you had. There's no way somebody today wouldn't have called a lawyer, or the police would have been there, or at least afterwards. I hate everything about today, and it's not because I'm getting older. It's just that everything just seems to be getting just so much softer. Everybody's like, offended by everything. Everybody's being shamed by everything. Somebody has big eyebrows, thick, bushy eyebrows, and you say, man, your eyebrows are thick and bushy. Stop shaming me in my eyebrows. Okay. I'm not sure what happened here,
I know what you're talking about, because I think some things are a lot better because we couldn't address the things that need addressing if these things weren't like, we go through this period. But sometimes, for a while, the dial can go a little too far in the other direction. And I think that's kind of where we're at. I mean, it's good that people can, they can be a trans kid or, I'm glad we live in a world where that is becoming a thing. But the far end of that is a person that wants to change their gender literally two or three times in a day. And then want to get pissed at you for not knowing what's in their head. Yeah. That shit. And when that becomes like the norm or becomes like a thing, then we're fucked. But yeah, I think we're kind of experiencing an evening out. We're still in the dials turned a little too, what's considered ridiculous before it gets dialed back to an acceptable kind of a, I don't know.
Well, the other reason why I brought it up, your story and my story, because I couldn't imagine what would have happened if that had happened in school, today. One, I would have been taken to the hospital immediately. Two, that kid who hit me, whether I told him to do it or not, would have probably been expelled, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, you would have definitely gotten a psych eval.
That too, yeah. Instead of like just two idiot kids doing idiot things. But I watched that video Stephanie sent to both of us. And one of the things that bothered me was after watching it, it's like, if I'm a supervisor and I'm doing a bunch of work and somebody comes to talk to me and I say these words, hey man, I don't want to talk to you right now. I got work to do. I could actually get in trouble for saying that. They could say he feeling intimidated and he wasn't nice to me. I'm like, I don't have to be nice to you to work with you. I just don't have to be disrespectful. I just can't be disrespectful and mean, but I don't have to be nice to you. Do you understand the difference? And then I get another HR complaint. And it's like, for what? I'm talking to you like you're a grown-up. This is how grown-ups deal with each other. They say what's on their mind. At least I thought they did. And that's what more than anything bothers me. It's like, I can't just tell you to leave me alone, or another coworker, I don't like you. Don't bother with me. I gotta like everybody at work now, it's ridiculous. It's gonna choke people. How soft everything is.
There's a lot of there is a pussification.
Yeah, it really is, dude. I mean, it's just. But you're right, though. The trans people, the gay people. I'm happy that they can be out and living their lives. The way they want to. That they're not closeted and all that stuff. That's fine by me. I don't care enough one way or another what the hell you do, But everything else, the culture of talking to people, man, I can't deal with that. I'm gonna talk to you like a grown up. If you fucking up, guess what? You fucking up. Fix the shit. You know? What am I supposed to say to you? You know? Fix it. I'll find somebody who can do it right. So that's the part that just gets me, man. And all these camera phones get me too, because I watch these Karens, and I know back in the 90s, boy, a Karen walking the store yelling at me like that, she might leave with a black eye. And all these cameras being around, and I'd immediately get in trouble. I'd say, hey, she fell. Everybody in the store. You know? She stumbled, man. I got friends who were wife and girlfriend abusers. I know what to say. Shit. I know a ton of them that did that back in the day. You know? A lot of them are in prison. All right. But, you know. Anyway.
All right. Next topic. Yeah. All right. First time in a strip club. What was it like?
18, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, most places it's... 18.
Yeah.
It's either 18 and no alcohol. Right. Or 21 and over. But we live in Portland where, again, you're not going to find another place in the country per capita that have more strip clubs than we do.
Rules are a little different here.
Yeah. We are number one and we're full nude. Most places aren't.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. Most places aren't full nude in the country. We're We are full nude. Full nude is the norm here.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Huh. So,
I learned something.
And what was I going to say? So, yeah, there was just as many like 21 and over strip clubs and 18. So if you were 18 here, you could go to like a juice bar.
Yeah, we did all that. And it was
Yep.
So I went 18, but first we had to make a stop. You know, on your 18th birthday, your friends would take you over to Hollywood Video and you get your red card. You know, that's just what, you may not ever use it, but you had to get one. So we went in there, we got it. And
oh, that's so you can get your rated R.
No, that's you don't remember, not Hollywood Video. Yeah, what is it? No, God, what is it called now? I forgot. It's on Sandy. The famous adult video store on Sandy.
Oh.
Fantasy Video. There it is. Okay. My bad. For some reason, I did say Hollywood. That's my bad. Fantasy Video. Okay.
It's on Hollywood.
Right. Yeah. Duh. So I had to go in and get that. And then we went to a strip club, and we went to one, I think it was called the Beaver Inn. I let one of my hillbilly friends take me, and the lady on stage, I swear to God, looked like she just got shot up with meth, and it was the worst experience of my entire life. I'm sitting there looking, going, why am I here? These are the ugliest women. I swear one of them was pregnant, like at least 4 or 5 months pregnant. You know, I want to say what Stewie said, it looked like he had bullet wounds. You know, but I did see a bunch of track marks. You know, one had dentures.
What place did you go to?
It's out by, it was. I don't know if it's still there because I would never go back. Out a little past Johnson's Creek, Fred Meyer's, where that used to be, or the cinemas that used to be on Johnson's Creek. Oh, there's a Best Buy out there too, but it's going towards Gladstone. It's way out there now, but it was.
You know what's funny about
it? Was Portland, there.
Yeah, some strip clubs. I remember I went to one that was an extension to someone's house. They like made like a little bar that held maybe 50 people or so, like an extension to a garage.
Wow.
And they had a little liquor license and they had a strip club. And it was like they put a strip club anywhere here.
Oh, yeah. Just as long as it's not near a school, they're everywhere, man. I mean, they are everywhere. Yeah. I mean, people who don't live here really can't understand that in certain parts of town, you would literally have 2-3 of them on the same block, you know, where you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, okay. That for someone who doesn't live in Portland, strip clubs in Portland are like Starbucks anywhere else in any major city.
They really are.
It's like you literally can throw a rock in any direction and you're going to be on your way to a strip club.
That's if you go downtown. They are everywhere. But that's my experience. So what was yours like? I'm sure it was much better than mine.
Yeah, it was so funny. My first one was wasn't that eventful, but I just had a really funny bad stripper experience. But the first one I went with was 18, and my birthday and my buddy Alex's birthday are close, or my friend Brandon's birthday are close. So we're all turning 8. So when he turned 18, I turned 18 a little bit before they did. So when he all turned 18, we went to, it's no longer there, but I forget the name of it. It had a really big oak door. And it's right off of Sandy. And we went in, we all ordered our old duels. and that's the birth of, it was my first time in a strip club. I knew the score, you know. You want to give up enough money to see them naked, right, but you don't want to give up too much money to where you're broke, right, because their job is to get as much money from you as they can.
Oh, goddamn right. And, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
You know, and it's just an understood agreement. Mm-hmm. But there's every group has that one friend that thinks she really likes
you. Yep.
And I watched that happen the first time. I even tried to talk him out of this. Like, where do you think they are? I mean, this is what they do.
This is what they're paid to do, dude.
No, dude, it's different, dude. It's different. And he must have, we're 18, so we still, some of us are just still excited we don't have school tomorrow. And
wow.
And so to cough up like $200 in a night, that's devastating. And that's exactly what I watched my friend do. He was just like,
oh,
it was
my
just pathetic.
God, yeah, I've seen so many people go in there and just give up just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to these women, man. It's like, you do realize, man, that this is what they get paid to do. They don't like you. And, yeah, a couple of my boys, had enough money to where they got her to go to the house with them. And I'm like, so you pretty much just hired a prostitute to go to the house with you, is what you did.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what you did. No, man, it was only like $50. She's a prostitute. It's okay. You do you, but don't think she went because she liked you. She went because you had some money. I mean, that's just what it was. And it's just, I would just go, check out the titties and, all that stuff, and then march out of there.
It was so funny. One of the funniest strip, I remember when my friend Casey and I were on just hitting strip clubs that night. We're just, nothing to do. So we started going to these weird, you remember you used to get those Exotica books that would tell you all the strip.
Yes, I remember that little free magazine. Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember we got one of those, and we're like, we're gonna hit all these odd, weird ones. And we walked into one. It was me, him, and his brother. And we walked in, and the girl is, as soon as you walk in, the stage is literally like right to your right. So you're literally almost blocking the dancer on your way to go find a seat. And Casey and I both walked in ahead of his brother, and she turned around and she looked kind of methy.
Methy?
And she smiled. Yeah. She had a kind of a methy thing going. Meth chic, maybe. I don't know.
Wow.
But she looked him in the eye and she smiled. And I wish, I am not exaggerating, it looked like a mishmash of white teeth and candy corn.
Ew.
With what was left. It was a lot of gas.
Ah.
And she smiled. She smiled like she didn't have a horror show for her mouth. And Casey said out loud, "You got to be fucking kidding me." And I just started laughing. And it was, she immediately knew why we were laughing. And the bouncer was like, he was like, "You guys got to go. You can't make fun of the dancers." He's like, "You don't even know what we're talking about." And he's like, You know what I mean.
Look, I've seen her teeth. You were laughing at her teeth. Go ahead and just leave.
And it was so funny. We were like, that's when we're like, we had no pushback. We're like, oh, okay, just as long as you acknowledge.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've never been kicked out, but yeah,
That was the only time we were kicked out for laughing at a stripper that had like five teeth in her head.
I knew this dude who made it rain with a quarter, and the dancer said something to him, and he went on stage and took the quarter back because he didn't like her attitude. Next thing I know, Jesus. He's like being thrown out of the club by some bouncers. I'm like, you gonna help me, Marcel? Nope. I fucking hate you. You can go now. I fucking hate you. Bye. Like, why would you throw a quarter on stage, man? Who is that funny to? I mean, easy.
Yeah, it's so dehumanizing.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how he thought that would fly.
He's just an asshole. I mean, he just thought it was funny, and I'm like, that's not funny, dude. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't condone that behavior.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, but. He did it, and he got thrown out. I've seen a couple people get tossed out. I stopped going because, one, I got a little older, and it just didn't appeal to me anymore. But there were I've been to a couple where fights broke out, and I'm like, I can't be around these fights, man.
Man, you go to those garbage ones.
Well, not really garbage, but they're just they attract a different type of clientele than. Some of the other ones.
Certain element of
roughness, ghetto roughness, if you will.
Oh, shit. All right, last one, and then... hello. Oh. Last one, and then we will call...
All right.
Now, again, I don't know if I know I told you this. I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I will say this, my bad date. But you go first, sir, please.
You know, bad dates are just, it's been so long. And I think we've done this, but we've done this before. And I just could not come up with one that is that memorable where, let me think, give me like 2 seconds. There was one where... We met at, I think it was Applebee's. For some odd reason, she wanted to go to Applebee's, and I fucking hate that place. Just shitty food. I just can't stand Applebee's.
Yeah, it's bad. But then again, you eat at Denny's.
That's the pot calling the kettle.
Back then, we
went to Denny's because, you know, our work shift ended at like 1 a.m. And if we were hungry, there was just no other place to go. I mean, we didn't go there during the day or anything like that. It was like hungry.
Go to Sherry's. Well,
we did. We went to Sherry's too. But if we were closer to Denny's, man, it's like I'm not gonna drive all the way to a Sherry. Denny's is right here. And the only thing you worried about at Denny's were the golf kids drinking coffee in the back. That's all it was.
I don't know. Sherry's was always looked at a step above.
Well, yeah, Denny's. It is.
Sherry's
even IHOP is
Denny's.
Up.
Yeah, Sherry's is to Denny's what Target is to Walmart. If that makes any sense,
it does. But
Target's like Target compared to Walmart.
Yeah, but Walmart's so much more fun. Anyway, so
that's what I mean. It's a human zoo with discount prices.
If you ever feel bad about yourself, go on to Walmart. You'll feel like a king after it.
Hey, don't even buy anything. Just walk around for 10 minutes.
Yeah, my life's not that bad.
You're like, you know what?
I'm doing all right. My life is good. So she wanted to eat there, and we started talking, and just nothing was going right. I mean, she was arguing. I'm like, are you having a bad day? He's like, no, I just don't want to be here. I'm like, well, why did you agree to come here then if you didn't want to be here? Well, because it was close. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this. And we hadn't even ordered yet. You know, we had the water and some. I think I got some bread or something, but she just didn't want to be there. And I was like, all right, you can go. But I've never had a date where it's like, oh, God, I'll be telling grandkids about this one. Never had one that bad before. So
Oh, I've had, I know I've told you this one, but I don't think I've said it on the podcast before. I went on a date with a friend of mine's sister.
Well, those always work out.
Well, you know, it was, she was like, oh, I think my sister likes you. And yeah, we do have some chemistry. The few times we were around each other, and she was, you know, she's pretty good looking and she was nice and, you know, all that. We, you know, had rapport. So we went on we decided to go on a date. Now, she was a big movie buff because every time we get together, we talk mm-hmm. movies every now and again. So we're going to go see. I remember the movie vividly. So we meet. She's great. We're having a good conversation. We go grab a bite to eat. Then we're going to go see this movie. And, you know, then whatever happens after that. Now, I pick her up. Everything's fine. We get to the movie. It's the Headless Horseman, Tim Burton's
Hell
the
Headless yeah. Horseman. Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
That yeah, it was.
But you know, she's. We get there. The movie hasn't started yet. We're the only ones mm-hmm. in the theater. And she's like, "I'm running to the restroom real quick before the movie starts." So I was like, "Okay, great." And You know, you think someone runs to the bathroom, 10 minutes is a decent amount of time. We're coming up on 20 mm-hmm. minutes. And now the trailers have started. And so it's been like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh man, she's in there taking a dump. Great. Oh, well, that isn't really, I don't want to, yuck. You know, it's like thinking about if I'm gonna get lucky tonight, maybe I say, hey, let's take a shower first. But she was like, she comes back and her demeanor is completely different.
Okay.
I mean, she's like, she's just like quiet and like she's drowsy. And she literally, I'm like, I keep looking over. I'm like, are you okay? She's like, oh, no, I'm fine. It's just so tired. I was like, I'm thinking, what the fuck happened? She's like a completely different person. And she's like mm-hmm. out of it. Like she's drugged up, you know? And I literally one time during the movie, I look over, she's holding a piece of popcorn in her hand, but she is completely nodded off. And then she's just like a heroin, almost like a heroin.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So the movie's over. She's like, I'm so tired. I think we need to I'll just take you home. So I take her home. She's damn near nodding off mm-hmm. in the car. It's almost like she's drunk. I'm, you know, still not making the connections. And I was like, what happened? Yeah. So I drop her off. And you know, my friend, she lives, you know, Miss Matchmaker here. She lives just two buildings in the same complex over. So I drive over to her place and I'm like, what the hell? And I explain the date. And she's like, oh, that sucks. It sounds like my sister's back on heroin. And I said, what the fuck do you mean back on heroin? And why would you hook me up with your junkie sister? I was so pissed.
So you were right about heroin.
She went to the bathroom to shoot up, and I went on a date with a heroin addict.
Oh,
but
wow.
That was a bad. That was a.
Oh, you think?
Date. That was really.
That's too much shit to polish up and try to make it presentable, man. I mean, fucking. She went and got high on heroin. My God.
But the worst is her sister was like the one that suggested we hook up, knew she was a heroin addict, and facilitated like the meet, you know, anyway. I was like, why wouldn't you, if you're a friend, why wouldn't you say, hey, my sister's kind of, she's got problems, you know?
Well, I'm sure she was thinking that if she had told you, you wouldn't have gone out with her, and she probably wanted her sister to go out on a date.
She would have been right. Yeah. She would have been right.
That's why. How does that saying go? I'd rather ask for forgiveness than ask for permission or something like that.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what she was thinking. You know, I'd rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission, and that's what she did. She was like, "Fuck it, go out with my sister. You'll have a good time." And she just pulling on that rubber thing, going, "Yeah, you'll have a great time." She pops the needle. It'll be fun. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was...
Dude, if you would have got pulled over with her in the car, was she white? Oh, yes. God. You got, if you'd have, oh.
Yeah, they would have thought I was her pimp, and you're keeping her drugged up to sell her out. Oh,
yeah, I know. That would have been awful, dude.
Like, this is a date, and then I don't know what happened.
Yeah, sure. Sure, colored boy. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Yeah. That's how that shit would have ended. Oh,
shit. All right, folks. We have babbled long enough.
Yeah, almost an hour and a half.
And, looks like it. I have to get back to distracting myself from the results.
Yeah.
But one way or another, we'll have a show next week talking about the results. So,
yeah.
It could be hopeful or it could be doom and gloom. Yeah. We'll see. Tune in next week.
God be with you.
All right, see you, folks. Peace. See you.
Hey, just a pre-show announcement. Go to blacknerdradio@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of Marcel and I. Have any questions? I don't know. Present a topic you might want us to talk about. Any of that. Anything. blacknerdradio@gmail.com. Also, we have merch. We have, like, sweaters, t-shirts, coffee mugs. Stretch pants. We got a lot of shit. So if you go to blacknerdradio.com, it'll send you right to this our merch store. You know, the holidays are coming up. Wouldn't you look great in a Black Nerd Radio t-shirt or sweatshirt or pants or phone cover or mug? It doesn't matter. Just check it out. Also, thanks for listening. Yeah, that's it. This is the worst ad I've ever done, but it's the best I can do for ads. So go to blacknerdradio@gmail.com to get a hold of us, or go to blacknerdradio.com for merch. Either way, we'd be glad to see you on with the show.